Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, everyone. Well, save the platitudes, because if there was ever a moment where the Stephen A. Smith takes would be coming out, I think this might be it, because this, Andy, this might be the match that broke the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. I don't know how, I don't know why, but Roma, they draw 1-1 to Monza. Bottom of the table, Monza. Last place, Monza. Have to say that just to reiterate the pain and twist the knife a bit further. Before getting into that, patrons, thank you. Patreon.com/RomaPress, and of course, at @RomaPress on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all of the platforms. Like, subscribe down below. We would greatly appreciate it, as I am going to come off as somebody who has lost it. I am not going to take responsibility for how incoherent I may or may not seem on this one, Andy, but I don't know why. It happens at least 2 to 3 times per season, where even though you know what is going to happen, even though you have seen the worst of the worst, even though you have been through the most harrowing of experiences with this team, they somehow do something that, even in all of your wide and vast array of experience of having to just digest some of the most putrid of results and performances, they still find a way to surprise you in the most not so pleasant ways. I can't make sense of what we saw tonight for a variety of reasons. And by the way, it was the full experience. It wasn't up until the final minutes when you have the very clear penalty on Baldanzi, which if you are listening to any other channel, station, than the Italian version of DAZN, consider yourself lucky, because subjecting yourself to Luca Marelli when it comes to refereeing decisions,
It's terrible.
It's horrible. You are better off going to the casino and just putting it all on black or something. Because you probably have better odds at getting something right in that regard. Because I am beyond the point of trying to listen to any of the justifications of this stuff. Now, of course, That decision not being awarded to Roma is not entirely why they're walking away from Monza tonight without
but we're talking about even a situation where there was no penalty check. There was nothing. It was just like, okay, let it play, you know? And it was a few minutes until the end, game on the line. And, you know, it's not even, to me, the worst thing is when, okay, what happens on the pitch is horrible, as in the referee gets it wrong. Forget about VAR, hopeless. But then to add salt to the injury, you have these people who comment for money on football and they can't get anything right. And earlier today, I was even watching that Juve game where there was plenty, Juve Cagliari, plenty of terrible decisions.
Yes.
And still, the commentators also more or less sounded just like Marelli sounded a few minutes ago when Roma, and more specifically Baldanzi, goes down and nothing happens, nothing comes off it. Step on foot is what they say. It's quite, it was quite a delightful way to end this game, which was already painful, but this really made it that much more emphatic. The moment that Roma are in, which is right now, nothing goes their way. And I don't think there's been a time where I've been more pleasantly surprised at the prospect of not having club football for 2 weeks. Yes. This is a great moment for us. this is just the international break right now is very much welcome, because I think it's a very bizarre cycle that we're in right now. It seemed like things were on the up and up with that last minute goal against Venezia, really, I mean, not last minute, but in the final 10 minutes or so, that really, that goal against Venezia almost seemed like it gave us that extra wind to, in our sails that we needed. And then Elfsborg is what Elfsborg was. But then today against this bottom side, which again, you know, I have this feeling whenever Roma play, I have the feeling, I know, you know, again, conosco I miei polli. I know my chickens. Yeah. You know, I I know what they're made of. I know who these guys are.
Man, you so are today, my grandmother reincarnated, man.
I'm sure.
You're not. The only thing missing is the apron and
the beard is almost the same.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
but it's true. Like you just knew that today you were in for something else.
Yes.
That obviously in this moment nothing comes easy to this team. I think it has to be once again pointed out how complicated the situation was for someone like Ivan Juric to slot in. These guys have been playing 5 games in 15 days. You know, that's a grueling schedule, especially so when you're trying to figure things out. Okay, forget it. They haven't had a chance to really do that, to really reset, because as it has been pointed out time and time again, these guys, these players had been really struck by Daniele De Rossi's departure. It really hit them. Juric has talked about this ad nauseum in his press conferences. He keeps getting asked about it. It's normal. So they didn't even have time to properly digest this. At the same time, they were called upon to respond on the pitch immediately. And mind you, I think it's even worse when you have this much of an accessible schedule. Because you look at the schedule, you look at this run of opponents, and you think, okay, Udinese. Well, Udinese at that moment in time were really on a great run, fine. Athletic Bilbao, fine, you know, first game of Europa League. Okay, whatever, at home. Then Venezia, Elfsborg, and now Monza, you know. On paper, a very accessible schedule. But yes, the moment this team is in, I think this was perhaps the worst kind of run that you could possibly imagine, because it was all against teams where you were expected to be the dominant side. And I think even on an emotional level, Roma just didn't have it in them. So tonight, for example, they lead. Monza equalized shortly thereafter. Why? Because team just doesn't have it in them. They just don't have it in them. And everything else that we saw against Elfsborg, against Venezia, the way Venezia really were putting the pressure on Roma, that all is a symptom of a team that is in shambles emotionally, but at the same time they're being called upon to be the dominant side, to dictate the terms, and they just don't have it in them.
No, they don't have it in them. They also don't have goals in them. This seems like the umpteenth match in a row with just one. Obviously, last weekend against Venezia, they get 2 very late. And then against Udinese, they managed to get 3 in the match that, frankly, I don't think anyone expected them to get that wrong, given, well, no, I take that back, because we did expect something to happen. I said they would either lose 5-0 or win 5-0. So I suppose against Udinese, when Juric first came, feast or famine, so to speak. But I have to tell you, man, and I said this in the Patreon group chat, and I still maintain this belief, because I can't fathom how it's possible, because the starting formation of Roma tonight had 11 relatively talented players. Now, through all the years of Roma, saying relatively talented, it would be hyperbole of a compliment for many of the guys that we have seen. Many of the guys that had it not been for Roma, they, you know, they would be playing Serie C. Fine. But the 11 that were on the pitch tonight, relatively talented. And again, I'm sure there's one or two that people take issue with that and even consider that a compliment to some of these guys. What I can't understand is how you take these 11 relatively talented guys and you would think that combining them into one you would get something better than the individual parts. You would get a group that is at least able to punch above its weight from the sense of, okay, we may not from an individual standpoint be like Inter, where you just have 11 of the best on the pitch. But you know, you have good qualities. You're creative. You're strong in defense. You're tactically very good. Blah 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 blah. You would think that there would at least be the ability to bring out the best qualities in one another. I am beyond the comprehension of understanding how this team, they struggled to do everything in every department. They look like they are laboring to do the most basic of things. And I pointed to Lorenzo Pellegrini in this instance. And maybe that is unfair, but here's the first name that comes to mind from the sense of where Roma is different than the others, than Juve, Inter, Milan. We have here, whether we want to admit it or not, I would say here, particularly with guys if they're from the city, they're Romanista, blah, 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 our tolerance for inconsistency and not delivering consistently is much higher here. Guys who, if they were playing in Torino, they would have been gone 12 to 24 months prior. There is a higher tolerance at Roma. Now, of course, when you don't win like the others, you almost have to have that, just because you do not have the luxury to quickly offload or attract players that are automatically, you know, right away, they are more talented than the piece that you are trying to replace. For me, nobody embodies that more than Pellegrini from the sense of, do you remember how good he was in season one under Jose Mourinho? I mean, he seems so far off of that guy. I mean, that seems like a distant memory. That seems like a player that I can't even, beyond going on YouTube highlights, I can't recall what it looks like, what he would look like in that. And again, I'm not trying to single him out. He's just the first that comes to mind. You can say Cristante too. You can find others that perfectly embody that. You want to say Gianluca Mancini too? Fine. You can make the case for just about all of them. I just can't understand how you have a team that just lay. Andy, they look so heavy. Like they are thinking about every aspect. I have to tell you, when Dolph Bick found the back of the net at 60 in the 61st minute, the first thing I said in this Roma media group chat, I said, I will give this maybe 10 minutes before they concede. And sure enough, it was actually at 9. They held onto the lead for 9 minutes. They concede. They just cannot. You can't rely upon them to do really anything right now. They struggle to score goals. They struggle to hold leads. There is something with this character. The way they, it's not like they score in the 10th minute and then they concede in like the 71st. They are conceding at the most crucial points immediately after scoring a goal, just before the break, just before the final whistle. They do it. You cannot think of three worse points to concede goals. And they do it consistently this season. And we don't even have that large of a sample size to choose from. I think in all but two or three games, you know, they're conceding immediately after scoring or just before halftime or just before the final whistle and the end of the match. And they're losing points off of that. I just cannot find one area in which they are consistent, which they excel at. And part of me says, what the hell are we doing? It's almost as if we are in a car traveling and we know the brakes are fucked. And we see a huge tree, okay, just right in our view. And we know we're going to hit into that thing. And it's almost like rather than just trying to do anything to fix it, do anything to get out of the situation, we just have to sit back and watch the crash happen. Because frankly, at this point, you've already changed managers. You overhauled the team in the summer. What the hell do you do? Andy, I can't. It's we are barely. So what's
the crash? I don't understand. What's the crash? I don't understand the analogy.
The crash is doing the same old, where you miss out on Champions League. You are not competing for trophies, whether it be Europa League, Conference League. Now, obviously, it is too mature, too premature to say that right now in the season. But the way they look, it is very difficult to digest. I mean, I was trying to be fair and not have recency bias, and I remember so vividly last season, particularly after Genoa, how much of a death march it felt like. But I have to tell you, my enthusiasm level last season, yes, even with Romelu Lukaku, this summer I was actually a lot more excited from the sense of they made a lot of changes that I think should have been done sooner. They overhauled many of the positions that needed to be refreshed rather than just adding an important piece here and an important piece there. Maybe we would be feeling different. I think that's at least fair to ask. Would we be feeling better if De Rossi was still here? Because I feel like, even though I like Ivan Juric, man, making that switch, it really felt like you but were
would
almost...
would we because I do you remember the atmosphere after Genoa drew at the very last second?
I do.
Or do we choose to forget that for a large chunk of the fan base was calling Daniele De Rossi inadequate for the position? There was a lot of people calling him stagista, you know, as in the intern. You know, a lot of people question, a lot of people who are right now are crying about De Rossi were crying about Mourinho while De Rossi was here. I just want to put, you know, I would just want to refresh people's minds, because 3 weeks ago, after Genoa found that equalizer with the winter, people were not exactly excited at the prospect of what this season could hold, even with Daniele De Rossi at the helm. People were starting to question what the hell this team was doing under him, what he was doing with them. We even discussed it. You were saying, where did preseason go? What are we... Where's the identity of this team? What is Daniele De Rossi doing? We took issue with substitutions. We took issue with how much Pellegrini and Cristante were playing. We took issue with so many things that we've taken issue with managers in the past. It's always easy to come on here after such a display and say, well, perhaps De Rossi was the glue that kept everything together. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. The only thing that he was De Rossi was a cushion for people that had gotten used to Mourinho and that had loved Mourinho. And De Rossi was the cushion, the pillow that was meant to soften the blow. That's it. But people were growing frustrated with the way this season had started. When we conceded that last minute goal against Genoa, find me one positive comment anywhere on radio, on Twitter, whatever. You will not find it. And people were just as distraught and as puzzled as they are right now. In my opinion, it was impossible to envision this team turning it around just like that, because these things not only take time, but they also take time emotionally, mentally, when you have that much of a reaction, not only from the fans, but from the media. I mean, there's constant speculation, John. Yesterday, there was a report by Corriere dello Sport saying that Ivan Juric's job is in jeopardy.
What I mean... The national break too, yeah?
Exactly. For me, this is the worst outcome, because I am forced to go through these morning press articles and look at these headlines that for the next 2 weeks, they'll feast on this situation, John. Yeah. These people will have the time of their life in trying to make it feel even worse. Right now, I think, again, the international break is a blessing in disguise, because there is a... Because you have to have a reset of some kind at some point. I know that a lot of players will not be at Trigoria. I know that guys like Kone and even Zaleski, who today was back on the pitch, they're all going to go away on international duty. But at least have a moment where you can just let go of things, because right now this team, even by the way they're playing, they're tense. They're tense as hell. If they cannot build any kind of momentum, they cannot build any kind of rhythm. Every single goal they score, it seems like they can't even believe it themselves. Everything comes at such a cost. Dovbyk yes. is doing great considering what he's being given to work with. He's been doing great. But if you notice how every single teammate celebrates when he scores, they can't believe it that they've managed.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
The photos and Getty images, because I thought I was going mad when I saw the reaction, especially Zaleski. I don't know. But I go to Getty images and I see the photo, and I'm sure you saw that too. Man, they're piling on him like he just secured them the Coppa Italia or something. The relief in their face. You would think they had gone 20 games without finding a goal the way they reacted.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Roma when they won against Napoli last year, one of Mourinho's last good games. That's how that team celebrated. Yes. You know, they couldn't believe it themselves that they've managed to do it, to dominate an opponent in their own home. It to them, it was news. At that point in time, the situation was so bad that was like, oh my God, what have we done? We can do this? Wow.
Well, that's exactly what it looked like. And the other part that concerns me too is after they got that goal, it almost seems like they thought to themselves, thank goodness now we're in the clear, because I can't recall beyond the non penalty on Baldanzi, which Ghisolfi, you just published the article that he said on Sky Sport. It's again, he is kind of like Dan Friedkin in the sense of we only have like three photos of him, all of which are at him waiting in the terminals of Fiumicino. So it's nice to see him getting some FaceTime on the television now.
Yeah, and also, I think this is pretty big news for all the people. Why is the coach always alone and blah 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 blah? Now you're okay. Now, are you happy? I want to ask people: are you happy that someone has gone in front of the cameras? Someone not the coach? Clearly, Ghisolfi, you know, right now, kind of like the interim person, the spokesperson for the club, right after Suluku's farewell and the Friedkin's search for a replacement. Clearly, Ghisolfi now is sort of being pushed in front of the cameras as the, you know, Juric's bodyguard, basically. Because again, John, no matter what Corriere dello Sport says yesterday, because they're bored and there is really nothing to report on, Juric will not be let go, unless so Daniele De Rossi will not be called back. It's not.
Oh my God!
It's not happening. Like, this is.
You have to be a glutton for punishment, even by Roma standards, to even consider wanting that scenario. I mean, I am talking levels of depravity that even those highly involved in the BDSM community would shudder at.
And yet some journalists know that there is an audience out there who will feed off of that and who will call into their local radio and start questioning, is it true? You know, you have Roberto or Guido from Testaccio calling in Teleradio Stereo and say, is it true? Is De Rossi coming back? I know it. Tomorrow, with the international break on, all hell will break loose after this game.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would want to do that to yourself. But I mean, and it just began to calm. That's the thing I love, too. You just started to get the slightest bit of calm after the chaos of De Rossi leaving. And then it was, nope, let's throw more petrol onto the fire. It's unbelievable sometimes, because I don't know where that is being heard from.
And remember, John, the same journalists, when De Rossi conceded that, well, the team under De Rossi conceded that goal against Genoa, you had articles being published about the bookies and the odds of De Rossi being sacked. Yes. I mean, you know, like that's a snake swallowing its own tail. It's ridiculous. It is. But unfortunately, here we are. And And that's why I think the international break is a blessing, because you have to cut off this, yes, this snake. Yeah. You have to let go of this moment, because even when you go to Monza and the fans like start displaying, you know, these banners and start chanting, right now the fans are chanting, don't break our balls. We only are fans of the shirt. We're not fans of the players. So right, right now the fans are not happy when the players come and clap under the curva and whatever. But I think this just shows that there is such a tension that is so palpable that even for a team that is supposed to, you know, think about what's happening on the pitch, they can't. Right now, they can't. Everything works against them. All the ideas that Juric is trying to impart are being assimilated at various stages. There is no momentum. There is no rhythm. There is no logic. And unfortunately, there are plenty of mistakes. And even those minor mistakes, you know, conceding one shot results in one goal. I mean, Elfsborg, you know, it's not like in Elfsborg there were mistakes galore. There was one mistake, right. One mistake, and Elfsborg capitalized on that. Same thing tonight. Monza, awful team, awful refereeing. But if you don't put some consistency in your legs, and if you can't reproduce what Juric is asking of you for 90 minutes, you will have trouble with anybody, including a bottom side in Serie A.
I believe, and somebody can correct me if I am wrong on this, but I believe up until they scored that goal, Monza had one shot in the match, one shot, and it was on goal. So they had one shot and one shot on goal up until they scored. They have no room for error, this team. And it's almost like you can see them when they are on the pitch and you watch the way they play. You can almost see the smoke coming off of their heads by how hard they are thinking and pressing and terrified to make a mistake. Absolutely terrified. I couldn't agree with you more about that point about them celebrating after Dovbyk. I was struck by it, and I didn't say anything initially in the group chat, but I thought to myself, that's a bit odd to see such a celebration against the bottom of the table, a team that has been admittedly shit all season, to celebrate so strongly. I was very struck by that. And I do think there is something to that, because, man, it is almost as if they are unsure as to whether or not they can beat a team bottom of the table. And then you see them concede just 10 minutes later. It's almost as if that one goal, like I said prior, you could almost see them saying to themselves, well, thank goodness, okay, job done. Now it's so frustrating to see a team that, again, plenty of talented individuals do this every single match after match after match after match after match. I mean, there is no margin for mistakes within this team. That is really the problem too. I mean one single mistake and they are made to pay. It's truly,
And John, that's what we said, right? When Juric was appointed, that the tall task of any manager coming into that moment was meeting the moment right away, not taking a step back. And that's what I feared with bringing a manager less experienced than Juric in Serie A, was that if you get it wrong at the beginning, you're done. Like, this place will swallow you up. People take issue with Juric's optimism in these recent interviews. But tell me, what does the man have to say at this stage in order to not have
this
team?
What is he going to say? What do they want it to be?
And also, he knows these guys. He sees how they're playing. He knows that anything you say at this moment in time will crush them. Because right now, everything is meant to crush them. All the news reports, the fans boycotting, the questioning of quality. Matias Sule, is he the misfire of the summer? Tommaso Baldanzi, why is he not playing? Samuel Dahl, who is this guy? You know, even Dovbyk was being questioned 2 weeks into the new season. So think about that. You know, everything, as you say, there is no margin for error. That's why right now I'm looking at this international break and thinking to myself, thank God. Thank God, because finally we can take a step back, recompose ourselves, breathe, and face whatever lies ahead with a bit of objectivity, a bit of distance, because right now we were far too immersed, all of us, the players, the fans, everything. All we were all too immersed in this situation that saw us, you know, go from a lot of enthusiasm in the summer to practically zero enthusiasm and zero hope for the season. And we're just October 6th. So what are we talking about here?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to be in this position this early. Looking at what Gisolfi said in regards to the non-penalty on Baldanzi, I don't want to get very deep into it because this is one of the things where it is a quote of copy and paste. So I don't want to be too hard on Florent because he is just one of dozens of people who do this. I hate this thing where we go out and we behave like the bridesmaid, where instead of just saying, hey, that making it seem as if there is some conspiracy against Roma, because frankly, if you have lived within this country for more than 5 seconds,
yeah, but he's not saying,
I'm just saying the way it comes off, in my opinion. I'm not saying his specific quote today did that. I'm saying over the years, when we look at all John, of the people,
right? But what are you supposed to do? So, yeah, but question is always,
saying, let's go for what it is. The referee, it's telling referees,
the refereeing is crap. No, but why is it always so? Finally, we get someone who comes out to the cameras, supposedly fulfills what people are always asking for. So, how many times have I, why is Mourinho all alone? Why is De Rossi being, you know, and now you have, okay, Gisolfi, who, like Murnad, comes out now clearly being charged with the speaking on behalf of the club. At some point, you have to do it in the sense of you have to have some presence. The fans have to realize what they want, because right now it seems like everybody just wants something for themselves. The fans ask for more presence. This today's banner was a club of zombies, a club of ghosts, and a team of zombies. That was the banner today. Well, okay, now I want to see the reactions to this Gisolfi appearance in the post-match, which will certainly be dissected by the great minds of Roman journalism tomorrow morning from 7 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, because unfortunately that's how long they like to talk for. But you have to have some presence. I think in this moment in time, Gisolfi's appearance, and I also never like this kind of thing. I don't feel the need to see someone come out and talk about these things.
No,
I understand it, but I also understand that this moment
by many of the Patriots today, and I was surprised by that. I don't know what Gisolfi has to do with Roma's inability to win against Monza.
I understand the moment itself calls for a more prominent presence on the part of someone other than the coach. But guys, we have to we have to understand what we want. What's the verdict here? You know, does the club need to be more present? Does the club need to speak up more? Or because we're performing badly, should we just shut up and dribble, right?
No, I would just prefer, instead of Roma deserve respect, so on and so forth, I would prefer to come out and say, hey, I have not been in this country very long, but I have seen very clear errors and elementary level errors so early in the season. The Italian referees are shit. Instead of taking the standpoint of, Roma as an institution, as a club, this is an important club, we demand respect. I've never liked that, because you always come from this position of, the insecure little brother, so to speak. I don't like that, but that doesn't even enter my radar as far as problems go with Roma. But I'm watching Marelli. I have my television on behind you, behind my computer screen, and that's why I'm fidgeting a lot, because I can't believe I'm having to see his words pop up onto the screen as we record, and it's taking everything within me not to just curse this entire time, because this the entire thing, the explanation behind it that he is giving as to why there was no VAR review. I can't believe these are supposed to be professional adults of this sport explaining these sorts of things to me. But this is something that Roma, they've dealt with for, I mean, refereeing errors in Roma, you know, two things that are synonymous with one another. That is not why they lost today, though. I want to be clear, right? We're not saying that that single episode is the reason why they couldn't get all 3 points today. I don't think you're saying that either. Obviously, it does influence the match, but the problem with Roma is beyond what we've already stated here. I mean, where is sort of the light at the end of this tunnel, and this tunnel being this season? Is there even a light? Let's end it with that. Let's really dash everybody's hopes going into the international break. Yeah, let's.
No, I think I'm. Listen, if people are searching in me to bring out some more, you know, some more disappointment, desperation, whatever you might call it, after a result like this, I don't have anything else to add besides the fact that the season is still young. That's first of all. Yes. I mean, you know, no matter what you say, this is October, okay? We are aware that there is plenty of things to address, plenty of things that are not going our way. We are not scoring enough. We're conceding very often. And quite frankly, we have seen a team that is very uncertain of what they want to do on the pitch. That applies to both under Daniel De Rossi and Ivan Juric. Right now, we're seeing a team that is struggling to find an identity, but this identity is clearly being tampered by everything that's been happening within the last 3 weeks, because this team takes a 180 degree turn within the last 3 weeks. It seems like, you know, we had one team in the summer and now we have another team, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because, again, that's the thing. It's the season just started. So why are we talking about this? You know, why does it feel almost like Napoli last year, which almost sounds like blasphemy, you know, to say it.
Oh my gosh. I can just hear. That's where I'll add the sound effect. Yeah. Oh my gosh. If you're driving, pull over.
No, oh, but that's not Lord, what I'm
you
saying.
Have to give warning before throwing that comparison out there.
I'm not, that, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's still time to turn this around, and I think it's pretty evident that what we've been subjected to in recent weeks is not the result of something that was prepared and that didn't work. I think this was all improvised in the sense that, I mean, we've been witnessing this team trying to put these pieces frantically together in a very short amount of time and trying to get results right away. And unfortunately, most of the time that doesn't happen. Okay. At least not in this scenario, not in this case. It was never going to just click from the get-go, because the moment was too difficult. There is a reason why very few managers are fired 4 games into the new season. Okay. There is a reason for that, because it almost feels like you're blowing everything else up. It almost feels like you're just amputating the team and preventing them from competing in the season. Obviously, that's not the owner's intention to, you know, to hinder the team's chances. The thinking is obviously to always be better, but unfortunately sometimes in the short term it just doesn't work that way. Right now that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a team that limped its way into this international break. Now we have 2 weeks off. Hopefully there is a moment of peace between fans, the club, the media. I hope that there is a moment of just complete quiet, because that's what this team needs. We're not going to get a reset, but at least we will have a bit of a break for the fans to gather themselves, you know, muster up the courage to keep watching this team this season, but also for the team itself to grow in confidence, because right now, what we were subjected to was the sight of a team that missed confidence, that was lacking in confidence, that was lacking in in belief in themselves and in their quality, which is there. Mind you, which is there. There is a reason why we were all excited all summer long. So nobody can now pretend to, you know, there is a lot of people and a lot of articles that are coming out and saying, well, and then clearly everything was wrong in the summer. Everything was shit. Doesn't work that way. You can't go, you know, you can't go from one extreme to the other. There's always a through line there. There's always some balance. There is always some truth in the middle. And the truth is that, yes, this team can do better than what they've been doing right now. And I think we can all agree on that.
I completely agree. Enjoy the break, everybody. Take some time away. We're going to need it, clearly. Enjoy every second. We'll be back in a few days. Until then, ciao.